my fellow Americans. This July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moda Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, good morning. How are you?
How do you guys do this? How do you do a 9:30 puck drop? I fell asleep during the third period. I tried to make it, you know, all the way last night. I woke up when the Preds scored that empty netter. But, man, you guys up 6 o'clock in the morning, and my goodness gracious, how do you do it?
Up at 6? We have pre-show meetings there, pal. I don't know what you do over on your little Mickey Mouse program, but we have pre-show meetings.
Well, who would I have a pre-show meeting with?
Ian?
Me?
Yeah. But you don't respect your producer? We do. We respect our producer.
Ian and I had a really long pre-show meeting yesterday. I called him at 1:53.
Oh, good.
And I was like, what do you think starting today, Titans or Preds? He's like, oh, start Titans. I said, okay.
You're like, hey, find a clip with Vin Scully saying "will," and I'll say he said "we." Oh, brilliant!
Ian did.
Thanks,
find that clip,
Ian.
Yeah, that was a Jared.
Oh,
find,
you found
it?
That clip?
Yeah.
Do you not understand the English language?
He's still
will,
upset from
will
the competition the other day.
W-E-apostrophe-L-L will celebrate.
I mean, you can't seriously like. You're still trying to say he said "we."
Close enough. Calling field stands.
Close enough. There we go.
You ain't going to like this, but the goal doesn't count.
We actually just listened to that.
We did just listen to that. That was pretty good.
Pretty good stuff.
Could you imagine Jerome Boger doing one of those? I kept thinking about that. I was like, man, if you had Jerome Boger, or like one of these universally hated referees that gets up there and is like, all right, fans, shut up. You ain't going to like it. But Dylan Radins did false start on that play. And so the play doesn't count.
I know it's hard to believe it was his sixth infraction of the game, but he actually did false start again. So, Jared, we're obviously continuing the Saros-Askarov discussion. Saros looked great last night. Askarov was awesome yesterday down there in Milwaukee. This is becoming, I think, a really tough decision from the standpoint of we know what Saros has been throughout his career, which is an elite goaltender. He's having a little bit of a down year this year, but still has had some moments where he's looked very good. He'll be 29 coming up here in a couple months. He's due a contract extension after that. And you have a kid in Askarov that just continues to look great down in Milwaukee. I've made my stance on it pretty clear. I would trade Saros, and I think Askarov is going to be an absolute stud at the NHL level. But as we continue to gather more and more information on this, what do you think? What do you think gets this deal done? And you don't have to have specific players, but what's it going to take, do you think, for Barry Trotz to actually pull this off and do it?
So, I mean, first off, I want to say that I thought they both played incredible yesterday in their respective games. And, you know, Joe doesn't know about anything that happened in this town before he got here. But
true.
Those Askarov saves last night, Robbie, those looked like Pekka versus Vancouver in 2011.
Vintage,
like,
yep.
Which I think is probably some of the best goaltending I've ever seen in my life. And so, I mean, look, Askarov is ready. Now, is he ready every night to be the guy and be good at being the guy every night? That is debatable. But is he ready to be playing in the NHL? The answer is unequivocally yes. He's ready. I mean, his numbers right now are better at 21 years old than Igor Shesterkin's were at 24 years old in the AHL.
Yeah.
And so he's ready. Now, the second part of this is Barry, right? Like, and I hear you guys talking about, well, Barry's trying to drum up a market or Barry. I mean, maybe I'm ignorant. I don't know. But I think what Barry Trotz has done is he is telling everybody the price is the price. And if you want the goalie, this is the price. And I think the price is probably astronomical for a goalie, and the fact that we don't have a lot of recent goalie trades of this magnitude, and that there are guys like, as you pointed out to me earlier this week, Jacob Markstrom's on the market. Like, the fact that there are other guys on the market, and we don't have, again, like a precedent of what a goalie goes for or a high-end goalie goes for, I think it makes it very difficult for another team to justify the price on a goalie. And I think that Barry actually has great leverage in the fact that I really do believe that he's willing to walk away. And if he has to go into next season with both goalies and have Askarov back up Saros and probably do the thing that they did with Saros where Askarov will pop up every time they need a spot start, and then he'll head right back down to Milwaukee and he'll get back in net. I mean, I think that it gives Barry a ton of leverage. Now, the clock is only ticking on the contract front, right? Because, you know, next year, I would doubt that the return for Saros would be as high as it would possibly be this year. But at the same time, I mean, I think that Barry's not going to give him away for free. And I don't, you know, Caroline was talking about dropping the price yesterday. And I'm like, I'm not dropping the price on Juuse Saros when I don't have to. So I really think it's as simple as, you know, I think the price is the price. And I think Barry probably wants one long-term asset, like a, you know, a first-round pick. And I think he wants one long short-term asset, like, you know, Quentin Byfield last night, or Dawson Mercer, whose name keeps getting thrown around, or, you know, a young 20-something forward who's already in the NHL. I think if he were to be able to get that plus a second asset there, like a pick, I think he probably makes the deal. But I don't think that Barry's going to turn around and give him away for the Ekholm package last year. I think he probably wants more.
Right, sure. Sure he does. But to dismiss out of hand adjusting your price, I mean, you just said it yourself, Jared. Next year, it does go down. So he has leverage to a point, but it does go down next year. Now he's a rent-a-player, and you don't have the extra year in the contract. And who knows how he'll play in the meantime. So, you know, I think
he might play great.
Well, he might. You're right. He might. But you still, the clock moving away from this trading deadline, it is going to go down on you. So the idea that you just, this is the price and that's it. I mean, I think you gotta be a little bit more flexible. I'm not talking about totally dropping it, but I also think you're right about goalie price. We don't know. We don't have a lot of precedent for this. I do think that the position has been devalued in this league. I mean, there's too many teams that are winning championships without great goaltending now for that not to be the case.
So the one thing that I don't want to get into, though, is the idea of liquidating the goalie, right? Like the everything must go sale. I don't think you're at that spot. I mean, I think there's a chance the Predators are going to be pretty decent next year. And if that's the case, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with Saros in net. I mean, I hate the idea of, well, you lose him for nothing. And at the same time, I also am not giving him away just to give him away. And so there's a real rock and a hard place here where maybe this time next year, this team is in second place in the Central Division, and we're begging them not to trade Saros because we want to see them go compete. And I'm not ruling that out. You know, the old man used to always say to me, and Porth and everybody else used to say, you never make a decision until you have to. And I think that, you know, I said, well, you know, but sometimes you do that and you end up giving Daniel Jones a big contract or something stupid like that. He said, sometimes you end up paying for it, but never make a decision until you have to. I don't think the Predators have to make a decision yet. I do think, though, that the idea of sending Askarov straight to Milwaukee next season, that's not going to work. Like, I mean, he is ready. And right now you can justify it by saying, we got two goalies that are playing well at the NHL level, and Askarov is still 21 years old, and Askarov, you know, they have this great winning streak, so why mess with success? But I don't think that you can justify having him down in Milwaukee other than if you're just sending him down to get games next year while he sits behind Saros. But I will not rule this out either. Like, I asked Barry this week, you know, what's the next step here? And he said the next step is for Askarov to get games in the NHL behind Saros and Lankinen so that he comes up, plays a game, goes back down. And when I hear Willie talk about how they, you know, want to have, or he thinks they want to have Saros and Askarov on the team together, I don't completely discount that because Barry has uttered a similar sentiment. And so maybe there's some importance in that too. I'm not just going to liquidate the goalie just because, oh, the clock is ticking, and if I don't trade him now, then it may be less next year when I don't like the returns that I'm getting right now.
Meanwhile, the team keeps winning. They've won three in a row now, and now you've got San Jose and Anaheim coming up this weekend, which are two teams that are at the bottom of the league here. So two questions for you. Number one, do you think that – let's say they keep winning here before the deadline and they get themselves in a spot where they're either right in a playoff spot or right there on the edge of it like they are right now. Do you think that should affect Barry Trotz's approach at the trading deadline? Do you think it will affect his approach at the deadline, with Saros kind of included in that discussion?
So I think there's one guy that is like a fringe trade deadline discussion piece, and that's Novak. Like everybody else, if they could trade Trennan, they would. If they can trade one of the two defensemen that are going to be UFAs in Fabro or Carrier, they will. Because right now, the way they look at it is if they can trade Fabro, for instance, they're calling Spencer Stastny up. And so they think that he's ready to play right now. So they're not going to re-sign these guys long-term because they think Stastny's going to be an NHLer. And I think they're opening a spot next year for Tanner Mullendyke. So they're not going to bring back Carrier or Fabro, in my opinion. So if they can trade one of those guys, they're going to. If they can trade both of them, they probably will. The same with Trennan and whatever else. The question is Novak, right? Like, I heard Elliot Friedman say yesterday, and you heard it, Robbie. I heard Elliot say that Novak, that he hears from other agents, not Novak's agents, not the Predators, that a contract for Novak is going to come in the $4 million range.
Well, he said in the fours, which could mean high fours.
I mean, Ryan O'Reilly makes $4.5 million a year. I'm not giving Tommy Novak more money than Ryan O'Reilly. I'm not giving him the same money as Ryan O'Reilly.
No.
I mean, it's crazy talk. So, like, I would like them to re-sign Tommy Novak at, like, $3.1 million, and even that's high for me, but the cap's going up, so fine. But four, five? What are we talking about here? So if the Predators aren't winning and Tommy Novak's camp is, you know, crossing their arms saying, oh, we won in the fours, it's like, okay, well, you know, this guy's not going to be here next year. Go ahead and make the trading, scores goals. You probably get something for him. If you're winning, you may keep Tommy Novak just because, well, he scores some goals and, you know, the best we're getting offered in return is a third-round pick or something like that, so you might as well keep him. He's the one guy that I think is kind of on the edge there. Again, with Saros, I think the price is the price. If New Jersey offers up, you know, that Sportsnet trade package with Seamus Casey and Dawson Mercer and a first-round pick, then I think the Predators will do it. If they don't, then I don't think that they will. Like, if they don't get that offer, I don't think that they'll make the Saros deal. So I really think that the true, you know, one deadline decision that they have that is complicated is Novak. And other than that, I think if they can trade Trennan, they will, because they'll call somebody up from Milwaukee, probably like LaRue. If they can trade Carrier and Fabro, I think they will. Obviously, if they could trade Tyson Barrie, I think we all agree that they would trade Tyson Barrie. There's nobody out there who wants Tyson Barrie. And then again, the price is the price on the goalie. The other thing I'm thinking about too is Lankinen, because I think Lankinen, a trade of Lankinen would provide the Predators with two things. Because Lankinen is not a starting goalie, but he's having a pretty good season as a backup. And I wonder if one of these teams that has zero cap space could make a deal with the Predators in which they receive Lankinen as kind of goalie insurance. Think like Toronto or somebody. They receive goalie insurance and send you over a player who's, you know, $4 million they don't want anymore, and then it creates $2 million in cap space for that team, and they get that goalie insurance, and then you have to give me more than the traditional fourth-round pick for Lankinen in order for me to take on that bad expiring contract.
Wow. Jared just talks a lot. By the way, Jared's four.
Do you disagree with any of that?
No, it's fine. Jared's
Joey Stacks?
Jared is four. He's four announcers who say we, by the way.
That was a disappointing
He wants his announcers to say we.
Yeah.
By the way, did we listen to Max last night? Did he have any of the...
I was telling Rex about that.
We gotta start
I hope that there was a lot.
Monitoring.
I hope there's some trolling going on.
Hey, I'm good. You, look, Max Harrelson, that's my guy. And I love the Homer broadcast. And when Nick played that cut in the update, all I wanted to hear was after Jankowski scored, I just wanted to hear a "you can put it on the board."
Hey,
just from Max Hurst. That he should take that in honor of Hawk Harrelson. Max Hurst should take the Hawk Harrelson "put it on the board" yes every time one of the Predators players scores. And Hal needs to get into it with him the way that Tom Pechorek and then later Steve Stone used to get into it with Hawk Harrelson.
That, listen, Harry Carey, 16 beers in, is better than Hawk Harrelson every day of the week. But I don't even have a problem with, again, like Mike Keith, like, yards or whatever, suck! That's all fine. That's Homer stuff. I'm okay with that. Have fun, enjoy all that. But just no one says we. It's like, we just had a great touchdown drive. No. That's all. I'm only talking about that. Not talking about anything else.
I went too long yesterday with Hal, so I didn't get to ask him specifically about the us and the we. But I did ask him about all the hockey night in Canada crying about the staff not getting to go to U2 in Vegas.
Yeah.
And Hal basically said, and I thought it was really well done, that Hal was like, hey, we on the staff, we're part of the team. You know, that, hey, you know, we lose 9-2, we lose as a team. And so it's, we didn't do our parts either to be able to go and enjoy U2.
Why doesn't Hal say we when he's calling games? I think he does a great job. I don't hear him saying we.
I have no idea if Hal says we or not.
He doesn't. He does not.
Apparently, Max has been saying we for a while now, and I didn't know until you made a big deal.
Max told me, like, oh, that was a slip up. No, no, no.
No, he did not.
Yes, he absolutely did.
He did not tell you that.
He's wrong because he said it for the whole year.
I'll show you the text. That's Max's
right now,
story.
If Max told you that, then Max is not telling one of us the truth, because I called Max on Tuesday morning or whatever morning it was. I woke him up and told him about what happened and encouraged him to continue doing what he's been doing.
Oh, you are just pathetic. All right, I'm going to find – no, hold on. I know we're going to wait too long. Here's – oh, I told him what he said. He said, oh, okay, that's not usually how I intend to. I was a little rusty last night with some stuff since it was my first play-by-play in three-plus months. That's what he told me.
Probably just wanted to get you off the phone.
He probably did. So who's he lying to, me or Jared?
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
He's lying to me.
I had some very sage advice for
Max.
We're
going to get after Max here.
My advice to Max was this. If the team CEO is calling into the morning show to defend you for something you did, chances are you probably should keep doing it.
No.
Because that's a good business decision.
Why isn't Sean Henry having Pete Weber and everybody else say we then?
Look, I can't tell you what he wants other people to do. I just know that if he's calling in to defend Max, chances are he probably encourages that behavior.
He's just trolling us.
Jared.
Just like you.
I'm the least, you know how much I hate, like, you know.
You're the biggest fanboy in town. You're the least
carrying,
what? Oh, yeah, okay.
Like the way that, you know, the people across the street carry the water for the Titans sometimes. Like, I am so against that. I am so against people just blatantly lying about what happened or didn't happen. But at the same time, I understand team broadcasts. That's why I don't get mad at, like, Dave McGinnis and Mike Keith when they do a podcast with Rand Carthon, and the questions are like, Rand, I'll tell you, it's a great thing you didn't go to the Senior Bowl. I'll tell you, that's the smartest thing you ever did. Is there a question in that? No. Like, that's why I'm okay with it. It's a team broadcast.
Don't say we. That's all I'm saying.
Jared, have yourself a wonderful weekend, my friend.
Boys, I am over here petrified of these two games this weekend for the Predators.
Yes.
And have we made a big deal about Gentry Estes saying that Candace Lee probably wants to keep Jerry Stackhouse with NIL money? And is Joe on board with that or not?
I saw your text.
We're going to get to it.
Hey, you didn't text back.
Well, it was late. Don't text me that late.
Thank you, Jared.
Bye.
Goodbye.
We'll react to what Jared had to say next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow as MTSU basketball takes on Western Kentucky at home. Pregame at 6 o'clock, tip-off 6:30, with coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3classichits.com. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Thanks to our good buddy Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment. Teron Davenport will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans with him as the NFL Combine is happening next week. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. This Saros-Askarov discussion is fun. It really is. Fans are eating it up. Really interested to see what happens here before the deadline. What do you think about, like, the team success part of this? They're winning right now. They've won three in a row. If they keep playing well before the deadline, I'll ask you the same question I asked Jared. Should it influence what Barry Trotz does, and do you think it will influence what Barry Trotz does? Which are two different questions.
Specifically with Saros?
Yeah, we go. We'll Saros, but really the whole team.
Well, I really don't. I could be wrong. I do think that I would separate those out. Like, you know, first of all, I think any decent return on like anybody other than the obvious untouchables, it's fine. You're not – there's no one among the non-untouchables, which is absolutely not a word, who are going to – like who's
the
lost –
The non-touchables?
The non-touchables?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be better at least. Who whose absence is going to – you know, cripple the team. Novak is one of those guys that they, I mean, he's heating up a little bit. That's big for them. They need that secondary scoring, but, I mean, you could, you know, it's not like you're just completely dependent on him. You're dependent on your top line, you know. And
by the way, I'm totally with Jared on that. I'm not giving Tommy Novak $4 million a year. I'm not giving him anywhere in the fours per year. It's just not happening.
No, I agree with that. I don't agree. I'd like your thoughts on the – because I just think the Saros thing, in a way, I agree with him, like the price is the price in terms of if he gets what he likes, then, yeah, sorry, guys. Like, I have to do this for the future of the team. I don't agree, though, that he should be inflexible right now. Like, that's it. Meet it or nothing. I think if there's some team out there that really wants him, I think you have to have discussions. You may need to drop it a little bit.
Yeah, I think to a point.
Not dramatically.
Yeah, like I do think you do still have like the background of the summer in mind in terms of like if somebody trades for Saros over the summer, they still have the opportunity to have him for a full year and then immediately begin contract extension talks after that. So there is value in that. Is there as much value in that as there is right now? When you get in for potentially two postseason runs guaranteed? No. So your maximum value is now. Now, having said that, we talked about this last offseason. The absolute maximum value you were ever going to have for UC Saros was last summer at the draft.
After he had a fantastic year. And I mean, I'd love to know what the conversations were then.
Yeah.
And, you know, what it is now. Has it reduced significantly? And the thing is, if so, then you know it's going to keep going that way.
Well, you're right about that. Like the price is going to drop. Like the more time that goes on before he is extended, the price is going to drop. I mean, it's simple math, right? Like if you're a team right now and you don't get him this year, it's like, well, we could have had him for two postseason runs and then with an opportunity to extend him, and now it's 1 year where his contract expires and we would really like to have an extension done with him too. So there's that part of it. Like if this drags into next season, the return will be significantly lower. There's no question about that. Like I don't think that's arguable. So, I mean, Barry Trotz knows that.
Yeah. So I do think that. I mean, you basically, I mean, you're trying to figure out. Okay, if I go to this, let's say I drop down and it's prospects and picks and it's. You know, not this proven NHL player I want. That's just an example. Whatever it may be, then you're comparing that to like, okay, so a year from now, what is it?
Right.
Okay, this is actually better than that. So, okay, well, that's the case. Then to me, the fact that this team's in a playoff chase right now does not factor in my opinion. I mean, there is a bigger picture here, and there always was going to be a bigger picture here about this season.
Coming up next, there was an unfounded rumor, I guess, with the Tennessee Titans that appears to have been shut down yesterday. We'll get into that coming up next. Make sure you tune into 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Gonzaga at Hawkins Field with pregame at 4:15, first pitch at 4:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9TheFan.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Sunday for coverage of the Ambetter Health 400 in Atlanta. Coverage will begin at 1 o'clock with the race starting at 2. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Looking forward to that.
I got too much stuff going on. The wee thing is just getting me upset. Real quick, though, Dylan's saying, you know, like he doesn't like. First of all, what'd you think of my Mike Keith? What'd you think?
Needs improvement.
Needs improvement?
Yeah.
Sick! I love that stuff. Again, I like announcers who have fun. And now sometimes they can go a little far, right? So there was a Detroit Lions announcer many years ago. So you know, it's like the usual thing of the teams. If you're, you know, if the home team scores, you're excited.
Sure.
So it'd be like, and Joey Harrington drive back to pass, and there's an interception for a touchdown. And the Lions lose again.
It's 41-7. Okay.
Right. Alrighty. Yeah, like I expect there to be some difference for sure. But like I think Willie, for example, I think he has the perfect there's a little more volume, like in the Preds score. But if the other team makes a huge play to score, like it's still like goal, you know, like
you're just trying to suck up to Willie because we bashed his goalie take earlier?
Well, just wait till the rant because we're gonna rip basically everybody who works at this place. Let's do it.
Looking forward to it. Jacob in Hermitage says, I think it's a Robbie and Rocks Road kind of day. So Creed over Pearl Jam. Also said that, too.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Just telling what he said.
But Jacob, but you're not serious, all right?
I am.
You are not. You think Creed's better than Pearl Jam.
You can't understand what Pearl Jam's even saying. I know exactly what Scott Staff's
dude,
saying.
Dude, right, you're just trolling me. This is enough trolling.
Could be an interesting Rex rant coming up here in a few minutes. DeAndre Hopkins apparently making his intentions pretty clear yesterday. So he has since deleted this tweet, Joe Rexroad, for reasons which I don't know why, but he has. But I found it anyway.
What's up with that whole thing with deleting tweets?
I don't know. I don't know why people do that. At NFL Rums, short for NFL Rumors, on Twitter yesterday.
Is that
says,
a garbage account?
I don't know. Says, something to watch. Tennessee Titans DeAndre Hopkins could look for another team next season on a mutual parting of ways, which, first off, why would the Titans want to do that? Hopkins came there with Mike Vrabel and the former OC of the Texans. Both are now gone. D-Hop would have a $16.4 million cap savings if he was cut with June 1st, and the tweet goes on to lay out his contract stuff. DeAndre Hopkins quotes tweets this yesterday and just says, cap, with 1, 2, 3 exclamation points after that. So as we know, which we'll get into here in just a few minutes, but cap meaning
BS.
BS.
Right.
So apparently DeAndre Hopkins making the intentions pretty clear yesterday. He will be here. He will be here with the Tennessee Titans and has every intention of being here with the Tennessee Titans. Now, why did he delete the tweet after that? I don't know, but that's what he said.
Yeah, it's good to have some clarity there from him. This whole thing has been, remember, going back to the end of the season, Jimmy Wyatt's asked him all these questions. I'm like, hey, Jim, did you not know he's under contract next year? And then Jim gets after me and says, well, people force their way out. I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. Now Kaharski's like, that's ridiculous. He's under contract. But, there's a reality of, like, an unhappy player. And it's especially, like new coach and everything. He did come here with Vrabel, the relationship, I think that mattered. The most money offered mattered more than anything else.
Correct.
But I think the Vrabel thing mattered. And now, the quarterback could matter in that. Now, I think Hopkins, he had a few times this year where he was really – I mean –
He likes him some Will Levis.
I think he does.
Yeah.
Now, I think, a couple times Will Levis got after him, and I was like, is that okay? But he seemed to take it well, and the bottom line is if you can play, Hopkins is a pro. Show me. Do it. So I think it makes sense. I'm not surprised that he would – well, I guess I'm maybe a little surprised he would go out of his way to do it and then really surprised he'd delete it. Does deleting it mean that actually now he reconsidered and he wants out?
I don't know.
NFL rumors? Start the rumor.
Well, I hadn't really thought about it, but now
– Now that you mention it, yes, I want out.
Yeah, as we discussed this with Garcia the other day, like the options really beyond DeAndre Hopkins, like walking into the Titans facility one day and looking at Rand Carthon and being like, hey man, I got to get out of here. Like I want out of here and I want to be traded and you need to make that happen. Like beyond that happening, I couldn't see a scenario. Like the Titans, it would make no sense for the Titans to cut him, right?
Oh, heck
like,
no.
I mean, they need him desperately based on their wide receiving room right now.
If he's like, I'm going to make your life hell next year.
Right.
Callahan. Then, okay. Well, then maybe you have to be like, well, oh boy. But no, and he's a pro anyway. So I think it's all puffery, basically.
I think it
it's
is,
all
too.
Cap.
It's all cap.
That's really what it is.
I think it is, too. And look, I mean, there are going to be questions about him just from the outside looking in next year. He's 31. He'll be 32 in June. So you know, you're starting to get up there a little bit in terms of NFL wide receiver age. What does his production look like next year? You know, we had the same questions last year about injuries and, you know, the PED suspension for Hopkins. Would that, you know, coming off of those things, would you be able to put together a full season in Tennessee? And to his credit, all 17 games, 75 catches, over 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns in an offense that for the most part was abysmal. And without him, I mean, think about what that offense would have looked like without Hopkins last year.
Oh, no doubt. You know what would be funny is going back to probably around a year ago, and some of I know for sure I'll raise my hand some of the stuff I said when the Hopkins stuff first started to come up, because I was like, I was in on the Julio thing. I was out early on the idea of Hopkins because it's like there's another guy, PED thing, injuries, blah, blah, blah. So raise my hand. Very, very wrong about that. He's tremendous.
Well, I mean, he worked out, I think, about as well as you could have hoped for, right? I mean,
oh, yeah. The thing is, if you told me it would work out like that, then I would have thought a very different outcome for the team.
Well, for sure. And we talked about this with Derrick Henry, but like even him heading into next year, if you could fix the offensive line and give your quarterback more protection and Levis starts to, you know, continue to develop, could he be even better? Like at age 32, could he be better than 75 catches, 1,057 yards and 7 touchdowns for you? I mean, if so, that's pretty good news for the Titans next year.
Yeah, I don't have any reason to think that he doesn't have it in him. You know, it's so much about – it's the same thing with, like, Levis' performance next year. I mean, if you give them right. the proper support pieces or some of them, enough of them, then, yeah, I think he could be good.
I mean, his days of catching 115 balls for 1,500 yards and double-digit touchdowns are probably gone. I think yeah. we would probably all agree with that. But, you know, if you have competent play around him next year – could he get, I don't know, 80, 85 catches, 1,100 yards, 1,200 yards, somewhere in that neighborhood? And, I mean, based on what sure. he did last year, I don't think it's a huge stretch to say he could do that if the conditions around him improve.
No doubt. I mean, look, I mean, there were plenty of plays last year that he was prepared to make that the ball never got to him because of the offensive line, and he still had that production. And he had nobody else who scared anyone a little teeny bit at all on the field. Imagine if he has a guy who does or a couple guys who can come in and yeah. actually make a defense think a little bit.
Josh on the text line says, I just learned what cap means, and I hate my generation. Just say BS. Glad he's staying. No cap. This is from Josh from Columbia on the text line.
How old are you, Josh?
Give us your age.
Let us know. Need to know your age. This relates to our upcoming discussion.
We do. It does. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. Tune in to 102.5 The Game tomorrow as Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on Florida on the road. Pregame at 11:30, tip-off at noon, with coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Joe, man, where you been drinking your coffee at lately? Is it Starbucks, Dunkin', Exxon Station? I mean, what's going on with you, man? I mean,
do you not understand the English language?
He's still upset from the competition the other day.
Will, W-E, apostrophe, L-L, will celebrate.
I mean, you can't seriously, like, you're still trying to say he said we.
It's close enough. Call the field stand.
Close enough. There we go.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. I have a feeling there are just multiple options growing for a rant by each passing segment today here on the program.
Well, there are. The we thing is just never going to stop. People keep coming at me with, I want my announcer to be Homer. Fine. They're not playing. That's all I'm saying. They are not playing the game. Don't say we. So I got the old man yelling at the old man, get off my lawn. Fine. Do you agree with me or disagree?
I 100% agree with you.
I think that most of the general public agrees with us? No, I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that.
But I'm 100%
okay.
with you.
Well, let me – I'm no expert, okay, on anything. But I would suspect that people who listen to radio broadcasts may trend more in my age than the 20s age.
Okay.
What would you say about that?
Generally speaking, yes, probably.
Okay.
Although we welcome all sorts of people.
Well, of course. But I'm just saying, if you want to say this is about, you know, older people or whatever, I think a lot of them like people who would just don't say we. I really think it's whenever that happens, I've seen many other people complain about it, you know?
Yeah.
Within earshot. I really think that just the we part, not talking about, yes, your home announcer get excited, all that stuff. Just don't claim to be doing the thing on the – see, this is not supposed to be the rant. But, you know, Jared brought up Sean Henry, so we went back and forth. And then he finally said, well, why don't you write a rule book? And I said, well, maybe I will write a rule book. But his question that Sean asked me was, so who can't say we?
I hope you do write a rule book.
I might. But it's very simple. The rule book, again, like he was like, are you we at 102.5? And we were like, well, yeah, we are doing the show. So we are
correct
the players. And he said, okay, then who can't say we? And he's like, yeah, I mean, if you own the team, if you run the station, you can say we. But also, there's really nothing that exactly compares to
playing
sports, yeah. Right? Like we make the comparison all the time, but it's not exactly, you know, it's not apples to apples. But he did say I should write Rex rules. It's very simple. It's one rule. If you're an announcer, don't say we.
There you go. Pretty cut and dry.
If you are a color commentator who played on the team or something like that, I don't like it, but it's okay. But play-by-play, hell no. And 99% of play-by-play announcers do not do it. Am I right or wrong?
I believe you're correct about that.
All right, so let's get to this other thing I'm mad about. It's actually pretty funny, but I didn't know you told me that Jared. All right, tell me what you told
me. Yeah, so
I'm
hopping in the car yesterday at 4 o'clock, and the TD Power Hour just happened, which, by the way, TD's coming on our show here in about 10 minutes. Looking forward to that. And they were, you know, Jared got back on there discussing the DeAndre Hopkins tweet. And I guess he said, and Joe Rexrode is taking this opportunity to talk about the cap being real again. The cap is real. Going back to your tweet that you had about the DeAndre Hopkins thing yesterday, which said what? You're making a joke about the salary cap when he said cap.
Yeah, so that's just, I mean, that's classic. I wish I knew that, but you've told me. Or maybe I wish I didn't know that. But now that I know that, Jared's now, there are a lot of people.
Let's read your tweet.
Yeah, let's read my tweet.
Your tweet says, confirmation, cap is real.
Right.
Talking about DeAndre Hopkins with the cap.
Right. Hopkins tweeted cap, and I said, confirmation, cap is real. Ha, 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 ha. Most people got the joke. Some people on Twitter didn't. So I need to ask Caroline Fenton and Chase McCabe.
Okay.
Because they had funny memes. Like Caroline had the, hello, young kids, which we love, the Steve Buscemi. And then Chase had the, like, I'm in my prime. I don't know who this is, but it's like a really old dude with a big beard saying, I'm in my prime, you know. So I kind of took that as, like, they're in on the joke, but they're just, you know what I mean? But were they not? Well, did they actually think I was serious?
My favorite response that you got was from Scribina saying, LOL, pretty sure he's calling the rumor a lie. Your response, gee, thanks, Paul.
Thanks a bunch. Guys, I have three teenagers. My middle one has been saying that's cap since like 2017.
That's
like,
true.
I mean, come on.
Also,
come on.
Chase's gift back to you was Cy Robertson from Duck Dynasty.
Oh, yeah, Duck Dynasty guy. Yeah. I'm in my prime. I mean, that was funny. I hope, Chase and Caroline, you realize I was kidding. Jared didn't. So I texted Jared after you told me that. I said, you thought my tweet about Hopkins was serious? WTF is wrong with you? Jared texted back, sure, because it was stupid and talking about the salary cap makes you stupid. And then I said, dismissing it all together as you do makes you dumber than anyone else talking the NFL, which is sad. Doesn't have to be that way.
It always leads back to the cap.
Always leads back to the cap. Jared has to, he and the maggots must continue to bray like idiot donkeys. I don't know why I just called maggots donkeys, but this is how flustered I am about the stupid cap stuff rather than actually have good discussions about the NFL. Yes. Because he's been caught in a stupid take, and he's going Skip Bayless and LeBron with it. Just keep pushing LeBron garbage, Skip, because you just are terribly wrong and you don't want to just take an L. Take a freaking L.
Oh, the other,
this rant just completely all over the place. It makes no sense.
We just got to be better about recognizing. I got your joke immediately. I did.
Most people did. Yeah, there were a few people who were just like, hey, dummy. I'm like, dude, I know what cat. This is not some new thing. This is like if somebody in 19.
Your tweets are dog water, bro.
If somebody in the early 80s said like groovy or something and people didn't know what it meant. Like, yeah, by then everybody knows what it means, right? Everybody knows what – people don't know what cap means. Now, someone did on the text line say that Will from Nashville says, I'm 55 and I've never heard of cap meaning BS. Maybe if I didn't have teenage, young kids or whatever, maybe I'd be the same way. But I don't think so. It's pretty common out there, right?
I think so.
I mean, I'm sorry I made a stupid salary cap joke. Can't do anything on social media these days. But in either case, I got porn bots responding immediately to me, so you got that going for me.
There is that.
This rant makes no sense.
The engagement on Twitter has gone up, no question about that. Matt on the text line, as a college alumni, can I say we? Talking about their team.
Of course. Dude, as long as you're not broadcasting the game to an audience as a professional, yes, fans can say we, of course.
This is going down a serious rabbit
hole. I just don't want someone calling a game to say, wow, we just had a great touchdown drive there. No, the Titans just had a great touchdown drive there. It's very simple. Like, this is not hard.
Got a text that says, Joe, the only people who agree with you are boomers. Not sure why you're so obsessed with this we thing.
Well, it keeps coming up. I mean, I was just giving Max a hard time, and it's become a thing. But seriously, guys, I don't agree with you,
Robbie.
It started
off as a joke.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, whoa, did he say we? No, let's give Max some crap. Guys, I don't agree with you, Robbie. I think most people do not want to hear their play-by-play announcer say we. I really believe that. And they yell when there's a touchdown or a goal or whatever, and that's all fine. And even like Hawk Harrison, put it on the board, yes! The worst announcer in the history of sports. I don't even know if he said we.
Catching some strays today here on this program.
And Hawk Harrison, man, the absolute worst. Like I said,
add it to the rant.
Just add it to the rant, man. Random stuff. What else can piss me off right now? How much time we got? Got another minute? All right.
Joe, your clout is just growing majorly with all of this.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
My clout?
Yeah, do you not know what that one is?
Joe, do you know what the word clout means?
Oh, my God.
What about cap? Yeah. He's just all over you all the time now.
Yeah, there are a lot of people, though, that are on the text line. They're like, I didn't know that it was. So, okay. So I suppose then I should be a little less outraged with people who thought I didn't know too, but that's got to be. Again, I had an 11-year-old that everything I used to say would be like, oh, that's cap.
Jared texts me, says, quoting you, older people don't like we. Floyd Reese sure liked we, is what Jared said.
What does that mean?
I'm just telling you what he said.
So did Floyd Reese tell Mike Keith, you must say we after something if we make a play? You did it too. Say we. Bull crap.
No, but Floyd did say we, but again, Floyd's not calling the game. So.
Floyd.
He's talking about even in the radio
Floyd
part of it.
Floyd put the team together for years. He's not a play-by-play announcer. Jared always has to go on offshoots instead of the actual discussion because he loses. And so, like, well, let me change it a little bit and spin it my way. Shut up.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. May need to get a blood pressure sponsor.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Long fuse.
Yes.
Long fuse.
On display. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's
like a social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.